A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Lamed Hey, Avodah Zarah 35A, pagination is 69. Starting from about a quarter of the way down, the Gemara tells us, Mai kitovim dodecha miyayin. What does it mean when we say that the beloved is nicer than wine? Ki osir avdimi omar, omra knesis yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people say to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Arevim olai divrei dodecha, the words of your beloved are nicer to us, we treasure them more, yosem miyena shel Torah, more than the wine of Torah, meaning what came directly from Hashem. Remarkable concept over here, that on a certain dimension, the rabbinic commandments are more dear to us, to Hashem as well, than the original Torah. Now, that's certainly counterintuitive of what we've been trained. We're always trained that if it's a biblical mitzvah, we extend ourselves more than if it's a rabbinic mitzvah. And that may be true, but in a sense of endeared type of attitude, so the rabbinic mitzvahs have a certain dimension of dedication to them, which makes them even more treasured. Rabbeinu Yonah, for example, in the beginning of Avos, writes on the Mishnah, Asu Siyag LaTorah, that the Torah tells us to make a fence around Torah, to protect it, to make sure that we observe it. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's the real Yirah Shamayim. That's where you really see a person's dedication to Hashem. If not only does he observe, but he even makes protective measures to make sure that he'll observe, that he shouldn't forget himself. We have a law in Shabbos, for example, that you have to wear special clothing for Shabbos. When you walk out, you shouldn't just be walking down the street in regular clothing. You might come to forget it Shabbos. So the person is already taking protective measures to make sure that won't happen. That's tovim dodecha miyayin, that the rabbinic are really what express what level of endearment there is, rather than just a law book of observance. The Gemara also tells us something fascinating, that sometimes when they made a legislation, as careful as they were to contemplate the pros and cons and everything that's going to change in people's lives with the legislation, when they finally made that decision to go ahead with it, the Gemara tells us, "B'ma'arava in Eretz Yisrael lo megalu taima atresa yarchei shata." They did not announce the reason for the legislation for 12 months. They were afraid. Dilma ika inish de lo sevira le v'asil lezul zuleba. Maybe a person will say, "Oh, akur, for that reason, I don't agree with your legislation. We could have solved that reason in a different way." So, introducing a legislation is not easy. You're really changing things, but the Rabbanon thought hard and well, and in their wisdom, felt it necessary sometimes to make a legislation. Let's take a look at Amid Beis, which is presenting one of the important practical aspects of the Masechta Avodah Zarah, in terms of its relationship with the laws of kashrus. The Mishnah is about midway on the page. Ve'elu devarim shel ovdei kochavim. These are things from non-Jews, asurin, they are forbidden. Ve'en isuran iser hana, but they're not forbidden in benefit. These are not idol worshiper restrictions, which would be even in benefit. These are kashrus, eating type of restrictions. Cholov shecholvo oved kochavim, milk that was milked by a non-Jew, ve'en Yisrael ro'ehu, and a Jew was not watching. And this is the concept of cholov Yisrael. The milk is monitored by a Jew. And in our time, the general consensus of kashrus supervision is to be lenient in this, based on the logic of Reb Moshe Feinstein, that calls the milk in our country chalav companies, it's chalav stam, it's not the intense problem that exists in other countries where there might be non-kosher milk mixed in. Since it's covered by the USDA and a company would lose their license with the slightest irregularity detected, we're not worried that they're mixing in non-kosher milk. The concept of mixing in non-kosher milk is that it preserves the milk better if it has a certain amount of other types of milk mixed in whatever wisdom they have in the field. In any case, in the time of the Mishnah, to ensure that it was indeed milk intact from a cow, from a kosher animal, so a Jew had to watch it. Otherwise, you're not allowed to drink it, but it's permitted in benefit. You could sell it. Vehapas, bread that was baked by a non-Jew, has restrictions. In our time, number one, this rule is a little bit more lenient than a straightforward rule, because in halacha we find that bread is so necessary that if Jewish baked bread is not available, we're more lenient and allow bread from a non-Jewish baker. If it's a public type of enterprise, that would be a case of leniency. Also, in many cases, we do make it past Yisrael by having a Jew turn on the oven, which has the Jewish input to the baking, which makes it okay. V'hashemen shalohem, and the oil of the non-Jews. And the Mishnah tells us, Rebbe uveistino hitiru hashemen. Rebbe, with his bezdin, allowed oil. That was a restriction, we'll see in tomorrow's daf, that did not get accepted as binding law for generations. V'ashlakos, and that's the case of cooked vegetables or anything cooked that couldn't have been eaten raw and that is ola al shulchan malachim, would be brought to a prestigious banquet. That's the case of Bishal Akum, also discussed. Now, we're not going to cover two other topics, but to be aware, wine and cheese are also items that have special restrictions to them. The cheese has to be done by a Jew to start off the cheesemaking process, and wine, as we've discussed on a number of occasions, if it was poured by a non-Jew came in contact with the wine, we would have a restriction. The Gemara makes an observation that one would think that you could test the milk by trying to make it into cheese. Chalav tahar omeid, the milk of a kosher animal produces cheese. Chalav tamei eina omeid, the milk of a non-kosher animal doesn't do that, but the Gemara says, number one, that's good if you want to make it into cheese, but this guy wants to drink it. So you could test it a little bit by just taking some of the batch off and seeing if it does the cheese-making process, but there's sometimes that process is not effective on kosher milk, and it doesn't really prove the point. So the method of choice is that it should be observed by a Jew. And again, in our time in the United States only, we have this concept of anan sahadi. We can verify, based on our understanding of the culture and the commerce and how it's monitored, that it's indeed acceptable. There is something called Chalav Yisrael, which many people are observing, which means that they do indeed observe this Talmudic concept as it's presented without the leniency. Also, even on milk in the United States, sometimes they're additives, and that's why you may find kashrus agencies giving a hashgacha. They might not be claiming that it's Chalav Yisrael. They might just be telling you that the additives are acceptable. Yasher koach. Thank you for joining.